Richard Boulanger, Dr. B, to his students, teaches one of those classes that students can't get enough of. It's circuit bending and physical computing at the Berklee College of Music. And when he joined us in Studio 2 earlier this week for our latest Brilliant Boston, he started by putting a weird device on my forehead, and it just got wilder from there.
Well, we're actually listening to your brainwaves.
They don't sound very smart.
Well, no. They're quite amazing. These little cascading arpeggios are you problem solving right now. We're listening to like your alpha waves. And I've written this little program in C sound in the background, and you're wearing a brainwave sensor on your head, which is the Muse sensor.
It's quite comfortable. I want listeners to know I'm not in any discomfort. It's right around my head, pulled my hair back in a pony, got it on my forehead underneath my headphones.
This is the version that's designed for meditation and sleeping with, and you can monitor and record your brainwave patterns while you sleep. But the exciting thing about this is there's an app that someone wrote for the iPhone called Mind Monitor, and it takes that brainwave data and sends it via a communication protocol, like via the internet, if you will, over to my laptop. And so that's where I'm monitoring you and catching you and sort of sampling you. Now, the truth is, if we were just to listen to your brainwaves without my
value add.
Okay, yeah, right. Without my C sound in the background, it would sound something like this. Just this turbulence, mm-hmm. This noise, because, you know, this is our brain, electrical activity in our brain. But, you know, what I've tried to do is take that and, you know, sort of channel it, if you will, and get the streams of data and then listen to your thoughts and sort of build a little bit of arpeggios out of them. So, for instance, if you'd like, we could listen to a different brain band, if you will. These are alpha waves, generally when you're problem solving and focused, and like we are now in this conversation, we're thinking about answering the question.
And what's the next question I'm going to ask?
Yeah, all that. But yeah. If we invite you to maybe meditate for a second, and I tune in maybe to your theta waves, we could then see maybe a little bit of a different kind of slower patterning and things like that. Let's see if this works.
So I'm going to try to meditate here.
Okay.
Of course, now the challenge with this is as soon as I start to ask you questions,
we're lost.
No, I'm not meditating.
Right,
anymore.
We're moving. But you know what I was noticing there? Before, patterns were like, and here we're hearing more of a something a little more oscillating and wave like, almost, you know, like a breathing.
Which is what I was doing, right? I do mindfulness meditation, so I was focusing on the inhale and the exhale.
And I was kind of hearing a little of that in the little bit of the patterns. Now, when you listen to brainwaves and brainwave music, I'm still trying to compose with it. I'm still trying to inspire my students to think about how to take sensor data. We wear it on our Apple Watches and on our Aura rings, and we're having all this data now. How could you kind of turn that into music? How could you put a musical knowledge behind it?
And this is stuff that in the later part of your course, I'm assuming you're beginning to teach your students how to do.
Absolutely. So in the beginning of the class, they build circuits, they make synthesizers, they learn soldering, they work with a breadboard, and we can describe all of this in a minute. But they've all used synthesizers forever. And since they were three, right? They've all grown up with them, but how do they really work? What would it be like if I made one? And also, could I discover some old toys that I was playing with that I could rewire in some way and make new music with them? So that's a little bit of the first half of the class, but then the second half is really about sensors and control, and can I make new ways of playing sound? of controlling and shaping the sounds that
like
I'm creating.
Like my brainwaves.
Exactly. And so that's when I have them build theremins and build alternate controllers and use proximity detectors and heart rate detectors and any kind of biosensor we can. I show them how to tap into that, how to get that data, how to filter the data, and how to maybe map it in a musical way, which I'm going to show you your brainwave.
So show our listeners with my brainwaves.
Okay.
I am the brainwave guinea pig. Here.
Okay, hold on. Let me make sure I've called up the right interface for it. There it is. Okay. And so now streaming the same original alpha waves, we start like this.
So those are my brainwaves.
That's your brainwaves making this little bass pattern, which maybe feels a little like a trombone.
It does feel a little like a trombone, yes.
And now we'll add a melodic part.
That is very chipper.
Right? I hope that's how you're feeling. Now we'll bring in some inner voices.
Of course, you know, I'm like, do not bring in any of my inner voices.
No. yes, right. But, and...
Yes. So you are literally composing with the data that you are gathering from five different sensors reading different levels of my brainwaves.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's a thing people can do.
Yes, we can all do that now. And
amazing.
I can imagine my home or my car or my, you know, I imagine that, you know, that all of those interesting things that we dream of, you know, they're within reach now. And that's a little bit of what this, you know, what this makes possible.
So I'm going to play.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
I'm actually going to play a little bit of sound here.
Okay,
and this
yeah.
is you in a live sensor jam.
So
tell me what's going on here.
You're hearing my heartbeat.
I can hear it.
Boom. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's my heartbeat making the drum.
Yeah.
These voices. That's me moving my hands closer or farther away from my synthesizer.
So I'm literally hearing your hands.
Yeah, I'm hearing my hands move in space. I'm not touching anything.
Yeah.
And the chord that you're hearing now, these chords, that's my brainwaves.
Okay.
Playing a chord progression. I've wired myself up to a lot of sensors. Now I've got one on my muscles. A muscle sensor.
Okay.
And that's doing a little bit of the woo.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah. That's me making a fist.
All right. So this is literally the music of your body.
This is, I sing, yeah, the body electric.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So the name of the class is circuit bending and physical computing.
Yeah.
But that is mind bending.
Yeah.
That you can do that. That we are at a point where we can read the electrical impulses, the brain waves, and to begin to teach people that this is data that can be converted to music.
Yeah.
How has the music world responded to this?
Well, there's certainly a fascination. If you cruise the internet, you'll see my students have invented things that allow plants to make music. And so you can sonify all sorts of things. But I have been finding that a lot of people that are using data aren't necessarily making music with it yet. Even I'm not. You know, it's kind of musical. It's still a big challenge ahead of us on how do I turn this information stream, and many times it's a stream, right? So if my heartbeat keeps beating.
I hope it's a stream
if
it's your heartbeat.
Well, that's right. It's true. We don't want it to stop, but we do like people to take a breath and not run on sentence or chatter all the time, you know. So how do I make it phrase? How do I make it breathe? How do I modulate the chords? How do I, you know, how do I do all those things that we consider to be musical that add a kind of richness? And so
that's the Holy Grail.
That's what we're all challenged with now, and how I show my students it's possible. I show them it can be kind of musical, and then I'm counting on them.
So you believe one of these days A student's going to graduate from one of your classes, yeah. and they're going to figure out how to turn the body electric
yep.
into a concerto.
Yes, absolutely.
How far out do you think absolutely. We are from that?
I think we're closer than you think. I think we're a lot closer with artificial intelligence, machine learning, smarter algorithms, and smarter students, as has been surprising me over the last 37 years that I've been at Berkeley. There's always brilliance and inspiration every semester, every class. But wow, now there's a lot.
So let's pick that up. You gave us a little sound, and you had permission from your students to share
absolutely.
This. So this is from Zaire Sherman, yeah. And he's circuit bent a kid's toy, a baby Einstein piano.
Yeah.
I'm assuming in the first half of your class
exactly.
when you're teaching them the basics. So here's a little bit of that.
Dog.
All right, so then we can do these little momentary switch things.
All right, so what is Zaire doing and learning with this baby Einstein piano here?
Well, I think he's learning, I think mostly he's learning, wow. I hope if one thing he's learning, it's funny because I tell my students, you know, circuit bending is where we kind of rewire toys, and it's really a fun class of kind of discovery. Now, of course, I want to warn your studio audience, only toys that run on batteries and only toys, you know, nothing you plug into the wall. And so
please listen to the professor on this.
Very important. And also when you open up these old toys and you start poking around and rewiring the circuit or redirecting the flow, you're going to discover all of these sound worlds in there that you had no idea existed, and that's what Zaire is discovering.
All right, so we've got one more here. This is student Ben Hartman, who took a Speak and Spell, a new Nintendo DS, and a circuit board, and connected them to some knobs and wires and things inside
exactly.
a plastic container. and here's what that sounds like. Now, this is music.
Oh, yeah.
Right? With toys.
Absolutely. With junk.
Yep.
With something that someone had thrown away.
So you studied originally at the New England Conservatory. And a couple of weeks ago, we had a friend of the show who's a professor at the New England Conservatory on Mehmet Ali Sanlıkol, okay. a Turkish jazz musician. And recently, he created a new instrument called the Sanlıkol Renaissance 17. And here he is talking about what it's like to play an instrument that's never existed before. Here he is.
Music is such a big world of different colors and different possibilities. And so in this kind of world of experiments and so on and so forth, it's more about being mature and thinking about how can I communicate the very essence of this music.
So what he had created was a microtonal digital keyboard.
Beautiful.
Yep. And so I'm wondering what becomes possible with the things that you're learning to do and the things that you're teaching students. I mean, we talked about the fact that he imagined music 23 years ago he couldn't compose and play
right.
because he didn't have the instrument to play
right,
it on.
Right.
What's in your imagination that's becoming possible now that maybe when you studied as a student, you couldn't even begin to put into sound?
Right. If you're infected by sound, if sounds do something to you, and they do to a musician, they inspire us. All sounds have such, well, there's music in every sound. That's where these alternate controllers come in, this idea of maybe with our brain waves or with our thoughts themselves. But how can I shape sound? How can I sculpt the sound? And that's my big dream of the future. It's to have as much fun making music, to be as expressive and joyful and jam and play with others like we always did. That's what music made possible, that we kind of invent together. We harmonize, right? Those are all the most positive things we want in the world, in society, to be harmonious and get along and make beautiful music together, metaphorically and realistically. But how do I play a sound? How can I just turn my hand and shape in the same way that I can with a guitar or a trumpet that I grew up with? But how can I do that now with a sound that's... Well, how can I make that sound for you? Well, maybe with a sensor, maybe... And so a lot of this class is all about getting them to touch the sound. And also, you know, there are individuals with physical disabilities, So how can you take our musicality and create controllers that let someone who has trouble moving their hand or moving their arm or limited mobility, or maybe they were even a wounded warrior, how can I make music again and play sound expressively? Well, these same technologies make that possible too. And so this is the world I imagine, that these sensors and these physical computing intelligence and awareness gets channeled through my Berkeley students into a really beautiful playground for everyone.
That was Berklee College of Music professor Richard Boulanger, who teaches the popular class Circuit Bending and Physical Computing. And now the sound of his brain from what he calls a life sensor jam. And that's our show for today. I'm Tiziana Deering. On behalf of the whole Radio Boston team, thanks for listening.